Mike, go.
Welcome to the podcast they call Comes Naturally. As always, this podcast is brought to you completely free. So, if you want to show any type of support whatsoever, we ask you to do a couple things. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Second, you go to our Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is...
@ComesNaturalPod.
Shut the fuck up, Joe. Sorry. Then go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and review the podcast. And then after you do that, tell all your friends to do the same. And thank you in advance. That's it.
And welcome to Comes Naturally. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody.
We go through that and then... We introduce ourselves. That seems weird. Why? I don't want to do that anymore.
Too bad?
I'm not doing it no more.
Why would we not do that?
Sounds weird.
Everybody does that.
Yeah, I don't like it. I want to be unique.
Then no who's who.
Hey, Joe. How do you feel about the women's national soccer team?
Pretty good now, Mike.
Yeah.
Since they won.
Who they beat?
Japan.
Yeah, they did. They beat Japan. Go USA. USA. All right, Cody, what are we talking about this week?
I don't know.
All right.
Was there really anything this week?
Nope.
Nah.
Elektra was cast for season 2 of Daredevil.
Yeah.
I guess that's something.
Ooh.
Nobody cares. She was the ninja chick from G.I. Joe. The second one.
That got cast?
Second one? First one.
Second one.
I mean, the chick that wore red and the bandana. I've tried
the
to
one that
movies.
Looked like Elektra and G.I. Joe.
She's
Jinx.
She's
the one that played Jinx.
Yeah.
No. Oh, really?
Yeah, he said Jinx. I heard something else too. Yes, the one that played Jinx.
Oh, holy Jesus! I was shocked. I was like, Joe, you can't say that shit. That's it though. Let's get on the subject that Dustin Hoffman talked about earlier this week,
which is
to the Hollywood Reporter. He said that basically film is shitty now. And he didn't say shitty, I don't think. He might have said it. He said that film is in its worst state in 50 years. So it sounds to me like he doesn't like comic book movies or sequels, because that's all that comes out now. It's comic book movies and sequels.
It's pretty true. Or reboots.
Most comic book movies at this point are sequels. So, yeah. There's that.
Or a spinoff of some sort.
Yeah.
Tied in. It's not like anything new or fresh. I mean,
he gave TV credit saying it was in a golden era.
I mean, I guess I could kind of.
People say that about TV a lot right now.
Not network, though. Network's in a fucking.
No,
yeah, but
network
cares about network right now, though.
Still, it's kind of the place everyone goes to first.
No, not anymore.
Yeah, it is.
Nah, not the people that matter.
Well, not that it matters, but, you know, like, because with, like...
What he's talking about is, like, Breaking Bad, Walking Dead,
Mad Men, like the cable channels for sure.
True Detective.
Game of Thrones.
Game of
stuff
Thrones.
Like that, yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Ballers.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to kind of agree with him in the movie sense if you're talking about, like, ticket sales.
American
I think
Horror Story.
You stop it. Let him talk.
I think, like, ticket sales, if I recall right, have been down just, like, year
well,
after
year.
Well,
this month. Or this year, I think they're up.
Are they up?
Yeah, because they have a bunch of record-breaking movies.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's, like, the first time in a while, though.
Yeah. But I think that has more to do with the way content is coming out. You have more options to stream stuff. Like you do on iTunes, you can stream certain movies before they're even out in theaters.
Do you think Dustin Hoffman's just being an old prick?
In some cases, yes.
But do you think he might also have a valid point?
Nah.
Do you think the quality of film that got released 25 years ago is better than the quality of film that gets released today?
No.
There were a lot more original ideas for movies back then. Versus now, and we were talking about earlier at lunch without Joe, that the state that movie studios are in now is that they want to get the next big blockbuster, but they don't want to take the chance on something new. So they'd rather try to take something that's known or that is proven and sink a bunch of money into that because they can probably get a return on it.
I see that, yeah.
Because if you go back 10 years, actually nowadays it has to be more than that because, I mean, some of these movies are getting that 10-year mark. But you go back and you look at, like, the beginning of, like, the comic book movies. I'm not talking, like...
Start with X-Men.
Yeah, like, the X-Men. One, like, X-Men and Blade, like, that area. They did not sink a lot of money into those. They didn't do a lot of promotion into those. But you go, you jump two sequels in, like X-Men 3, which we all know is awful. They sunk a shit ton of money into that.
Well, they keep getting... Every comic book movie gets more expensive as they go on because they feel like they have to outdo themselves.
Of the major ones.
Yes.
Not like, because there are comic book movies that are definitely not hitting.
Yeah, well, we're talking like the Marvel, the ones you think of when you think comic movies, not like Constantine and other things like that, you know?
I was going to look up them right now, the budgets for them, and see what they've, like, just in the franchises, how much they've grown. So talk amongst yourselves while I do the typings. Or not.
Do you think... We talked about this a little bit last week, but was it a couple weeks ago, talking about, like, possibly people getting, like, superhero fatigue in movies. Do you think we'll see a turnaround in that? Do you think we'll see more studios go back to, like, film, like, traditional, in the sense, filmmakers, and let them do, like, their stories and, like, passion projects, shit like that? Basically, like, another, like, indie movie kind of boom, like we saw in the early to mid-90s.
I suppose we could.
I don't think we will.
You don't think so?
Nah. I think they're too scared to give, like, new artist movies now.
Yeah, but I think that, I mean, it's always kind of like that, though. I mean, even back in the day when you had black and white films, you hired, like, actors, like, specific actors into a studio, and you just made films with that specific actor.
But I'm talking more, like, along, like I said, early to mid-90s when you saw, like, when Tarantino got a start, Kevin Smith got a start, and you started seeing, like, Miramax putting out all these good movies that were basically not fucked with by a studio, you know what I mean? Which was basically giving the filmmaker just the tools to do what he wanted to do. You think, I don't think we'll see that again.
I think with the big directors and stuff, you'll see that. I mean, you'll always, like, Christopher Nolan will be able to do what he wants to do.
That's true.
If Tarantino continued to make films, he would continue to do what he wants to do. You know, his last movie will be Hateful Eight, and it'll be an amazing movie because it's his movie. So I think you'll just go through still those generations of just really good directors. I think even Neil Blomkamp is, you know, he would be a great example of an indie director just being able to do what he wants to do.
I think there's some, but I just feel like studios won't be able to keep their hands off of shit.
And
that's what, never good. I don't understand how it keeps happening. Like, well, I do because it's so much money involved, but it's never ended up good.
But what I'm saying is you always have, and you always have had, movies where the company, the studio gets too involved in and ruin it. And you always have at the certain directors that just for somehow get their movies made. You know, you always have that.
But even directors like John Favreau is still going to have, like, he did Iron Man and then, like, other stuff, obviously. But then down to, like, Chef as a low-budget kind of indie movie. But then he jumps right back into a Disney live-action remake, or not remake, but a live-action version of Jungle Book. It's like, you know, they're not just going to, like, that's going to have notes all over it.
Oh, yeah. Because that's a Disney pet project. Of course, they're going to have their hands in everything to make sure that what they think the Jungle Book should be is there.
Yeah, at that point, though, in that scenario with the Jungle Book, at that point, John Favreau's going into it. I'm thinking he would go into it knowing, hey, Disney's paying me to make their movie.
No, exactly. I get that, but that's going to be the problem. Like, these directors that we're looking to kind of keep making original cool flicks are they have to. John Cusack talked about it on the last Thursday's podcast. He has to do the movie that pays so he can go and do the movie he wants to do that's probably not going to pay, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So that's the same thing with directors. You have to go do the movie that pays so you can come back. So, like, I think a lot of them might, like, if you're just doing the ones you want to do, obviously you're eventually going to run out unless one of them, you know, takes off like you want to imagine. But you would think at some point there's like, oh, these ones that they want to do are doing really well and they're taking risks and they're mostly paying off. Let's just give them this and let them do this. But it's like, that's never going to happen, though.
It's never going to fully happen. You're never going to see an industry where it's just movies like that.
Well, like we saw with Ant-Man, what's his fuck?
You're right.
Yeah, which from all reports sounds like he walked away for dumb reasons. But still, it's because studio wanted to get in there. And
yeah, but it's not like they did with, like, say, Spider-Man 3, where they said, hey, you have to use this in your movie. They just wanted to
maybe
add in the stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was afraid that right off the bat, if they wanted to change stuff, that he probably saw more stuff coming, you know? So I don't know what his frame of mind, because obviously the reports that we hear are literally, like, they just wanted mentions of the rest of the Marvel U basically in it. And he didn't want to do that, which seems kind of like overreacted. But, you know, in his head, he was like, fuck, man, I haven't even started making this yet, and they already want to change it. Like, so he probably just bailed on it right then.
Which, I mean, you know, if that's your fear, then good, get out instead of doing what Sam Raimi did, and he stuck with it and made the third movie, and it killed that franchise. Not killed the franchise overall, but, I mean, literally, that ended the run that with Tobey Maguire and everything. They're like, yeah, we're planning on rebooting this very fucking quickly, because we did not like what you did. And it turns out it was what they did to it. But you have, like, what Joe was saying and what Mike was alluding to, I think we're at a time where we might see directors who have an original vision getting more control, like Jon Favreau did with Iron Man in Iron Man 2, where he kind of designed all of it, and the Marvel universe is sprouted around that in a way. Now, obviously, he didn't leave on bad terms by any means. He left because that's a shit ton of time you have to devote. I mean, two movies took up almost 10 years of his life.
Yeah,
you know, from start of production of the first one all the way to the end and all of the press for the second one, and they were already getting ready and planning the third one. He's like, I'm sorry, I love this, but I cannot be that well into it, and stayed as a character in it, but then went on to make other stuff because he realized I have to be able to do other things. So I like that aspect where instead of trying to tie one person down to it. But what I was thinking too is we're at the point where you may get someone who has that vision, like Neil Blomkamp is getting to do an Aliens movie, and it may look like his movies, but with aliens. And it'll be it's kind of a test, but we're also in a test right now with Marvel and Sony, because Marvel is an independent movie company. They are completely untied down to anybody other than Disney. Yeah. But Disney is so far just literally just dumping money on top of them and saying, hey, you should make what you want. You know, they're doing the same thing they did with Pixar. And of course, and now it looks like Star Wars too. But we're in the time where, like, if depending how successful Spider-Man is under the reign of both camps, we could see that turning of the corner where we are getting studio movies that have more control by the artists instead of the money people. Because obviously with Marvel, they are their own money people, but they're headed by artists. Like,
right.
Their big thing is trying to get people who want to make those movies.
Like, where do you think, like, pretty soon you're not going to be able to get an artist to go in there and completely make his own ideal for it, because there's so much groundwork already laid.
I think we're going to get to the point where we're going to have more standalone stuff that isn't tied into the big, like, I'm not saying Marvel Universe, but just in general, like, yeah, maybe a Marvel book that they use, but it doesn't have to do anything with the Avengers and all that stuff. But Marvel makes it still. I think we're very close to that, because they're running out of not just time but people to bring into that bigger. Eventually, we're going to get to the end of Phase 4, and Phase 4 is going to trickle off into just the individual movies of those last few that are in there. You know, if we get an Iron Man 4, but we will get like a, you know, like depending on how good Doctor Strange is, do we get a Doctor Strange 2? Do we get a Captain Marvel 2? Do we get,
I'm saying though, is those movies can be original up to a certain point. Like they could stay,
yeah.
Like, you know, there's no, I don't think there's a filmmaker that hasn't been discovered yet that, you know, is kind of working his way towards, and say an Iron Man 4 comes his way down the road, like he does smaller stuff and he's not going to be able to make the Iron 4 he's thinking about making right now.
No, because at that point you're making a sequel to something that's already existing.
That's what I'm saying, so the originality of these movies at a certain point has to take a huge, like, diminish to them, because...
Well, really at that point you're just waiting for an artist to come along and say, hey, this is what I want to do. You had your original trilogy of Iron Man. Here's the three movies, you know, two Favreau, one Shane Black. The fourth one, in the beginning of this other one, this is how I want to see it. I want to see, you know, him fighting intergalactic space monsters and Fing Fang Foom at the end. If that's what he wants to do, Marvel will be like, if you can prove it that this is what you can, if you can do what you say you want to do, then yes, you can do that your way. But the problem with that is Iron Man is, Marvel knows Iron Man has a certain aesthetic that they want to keep going. So that pitch would have to be super, super well thought out and planned out for Marvel to say, yes, we want to go that direction. Captain America, for example, Captain America 1 and Captain America 2, drastically different movies.
Because they could afford to get away with that. But Captain America 3 can't be that different.
No. Well, it can. It can't be. I think it's going to be closer to Avengers 2 and stuff more than it is Cap 2.
Which we've already seen, but, two Avengers and two Cap movies. So that's what I'm saying, though. So, like, we're already running into that point where...
But that's in the main group. We just shouldn't worry about those because they're where they're at. What we should look at is the next tier down. And I think Netflix kind of shows off the potential of it. But also the kind of branching off that I was talking about where, like, Daredevil is so much different than anything we've seen so far, but still in the same universe. Yeah. And I think Mike said it last time when we were talking about Blade would be amazing as a TV show that wouldn't have to do anything with the main continuity of everything, but still be in the same universe. I know you said you wanted to see it detached, but it doesn't have to be so far removed that there isn't mention of somebody, you know, like, oh, Blade, his sword was designed by so-and-so. It just happens to be tied to, you know, like the guy who made Hawkeye's bow, whatever, you know what I mean? It'd be little snippets like that. And same with Ant-Man. A clip just came up with Ant-Man that showed Anthony Mackie as the Falcon in a TV spot for Ant-Man. So we now know, not only is there mention of Iron Man, because there's a clip where they talk about doesn't need an iron suit to be a hero. Obviously, needs a suit that makes you shrink to be a hero, but, you know.
Still suit. Smartass.
Yeah. Way to go, Michael Douglas.
It's not iron, though.
It's not.
Which, actually, Iron Man's suit isn't iron, really iron either, but.
Yeah, but because Mackie's in it now, we may see the reason Edgar Wright said, hey, I don't want any of them in it. Now, again, I think that's dumb because they're not force people onto you like they are. I'm not saying they're forcing people into Cap 3, but they're not putting people into Cap 3 because they want to. Is because it plays the story they want to play. They want to tell. Now, Anthony Mackie showing up in Ant-Man, is that go against the story they want to tell? Probably not, because he's a dude that flies with metal wings. Like, it's not that big of a fucking deal. It's not it's not like Ant-Man's fighting the Hulk. You know, you're like, people want more of the Hulk. Let's put him in the movie. You know, they're not doing that.
Ant-Man climbs in his ear and then
just fucking rips his brain out.
Yeah.
That was from another book. Different
one. Takes a bite out of it.
Or expands inside of his head.
Yeah.
Oh.
Climbs in there.
Goes giant.
Grabs his brain.
But goes giant for him.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Gross.
But what I'm saying is I would say Marvel is in the time of their in their existence where they could say, hey, we want to do other stuff outside of our main MCU universe. Not these TV shows, not this. We want to go to this guy who's making these amazing, you know, art movies with puppets that are super dark and like people just love them and want to, and we want to see what you, if is any, is there any properties we own that you want to put your spin on? And we don't want this umbrella to be affected. Like this umbrella is raining money over here. We want you to start
they would almost
over
have
here.
To like make a new department for it and not say it's from Marvel.
It'd be like you Vertigo.
Yeah, it'd be a spinoff, like you know, like they kind of have one a deal with Marv right now, which is the one that does Kick-Ass and Kingsman, and soon to be Superior or Nemesis and Superior is the other one, right?
Yeah,
And hopefully Jupiter's something soon. But like that is a spinoff. It still says Marvel before it, but it doesn't say Marvel Studios. It just says Marvel Comics. Or entertainment or something, but I think, yeah, having that, I think it could even go into like the thing what they did in the comics years ago with Marvel Knights, where they do make that it's more of a mature or even a kid friendly one. If they, hey, you know, you want to do some one of the many kids projects that are out there, but under the Marvel name, Marvel has that money now that they have on their own outside of the Disney, you know, ATM they could easily tap into. To then make those movies. I don't have an idea of what they would make, but I'm sure at this point they're looking at other things to drive for, because eventually Phase 4 is going to kind of peter off with those. We don't have the Avengers anymore. We're done with that main story of all those, you know, 22 fucking movies.
So if you step out of the realm of comic book movies, Where's the original? Like who do we look for right now for original movie ideals? Because they're not coming a lot. Like big release wise, I mean, just look.
No,
at...
well, it's the problem. That's what I'm saying. Is big release wise, they're not looking for those right now because they don't seem as a safe bet. They see it as a hard road to go to make that money. So they're never going to make the big budget movies until a Neil Blomkamp shows that you can use $13 million and make $270 million off of a movie that a no one knew about beforehand. Hit, I think it was like 1,200 theaters. Like, and then all of a sudden, word of mouth was like, "Hey, have you seen this fucking movie where this dude becomes an alien and rips people apart? Have you seen this shit?"
Yeah, but that's you know? What I'm saying though. Like, that's that. I think that's going back to what we originally brought it up is Dustin Hoffman saying that. I don't think there's the nobody seems to be giving. There's chances, obviously. There's movies getting made that are original ideals. But like it's mostly sequels and like continuations or remakes at this point. There's, I mean, look at the what all the top grossing movies this year are. I mean, you got Jurassic World, or just right now, Jurassic World, Terminator, Mad Max was in there. You know what I mean? Like they're all reboots and or sequels. So it's like there's not enough of the original movies getting made to keep these movies interesting, because I think again with the superhero fatigue, I think pretty soon you're going to run into the fact that people don't want to fucking see another Jurassic Park movie or another Terminator movie pretty soon. I mean, I think people already kind of spoke. I don't think anybody, like not enough people wanted to see another Terminator movies. It did shit at the box office compared to what they thought it was going to do. I mean, I loved the movie, but it did shit numbers. It only made like $44 million for the first week that it was open. So that's not good enough these days. You know what I mean?
Well, it's because like on that front, it's because they've had so many letdowns in the last couple. Because you had obviously the first two. Well, the first one was
like a surprise
before anybody really knew anything about it. You know, obviously it was a big hit because it was so different than anything else. Two came out, was a fucking blockbuster. I mean, it was James Cameron's name was set in stone at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude literally could do anything he wanted after that. And he has. Yes. I mean, fucking had a movie about adult Smurfs. You get Terminator 3, it starts to drop off. But not enough. People want to see another one. So you have Salvation. People are like, holy shit. This was awful.
Yeah. And but then you wait and you get this, the reboot, which doesn't do anything. But that doesn't really, I mean, Jurassic Park had two shitty sequels.
That's what I'm saying. So they took it. I mean, how long did it take them to make another one? It finally got to the point where they said, yes, let's go ahead and make another one.
There's more time, but...
So there's that hesitation to pull the trigger on it. And that's what I'm talking about, where they rush to make all these things. Like Joe said, they ruin so many things. And it gets to a point where, like, no one, like you were saying, no one wants to see anymore.
That's what I'm saying, though. As I think enough of that's going to happen, that they're going to be like, fuck, we could have been spending time investing in new things and new
They'll never ideals. Do that, though. They'll never see that way because that's not how those
but
big
I'm,
business
I'm,
think.
I'm saying it's already taking that turn to where these old trusty standbys aren't going to work forever. I really do think that, like, we're already seeing the start of that. So it's the audience, you know, going or not going to the movie theater is going to force hands at some point. They're going to be forced to go out and say, oh, we got to do this one. Because, I mean, like, if you get one huge success and five bombs, like, it's not going to be, you know, it's not paying for itself anymore at that rate. And we're closely hitting that.
We're definitely on the cusp. We can definitely see that coming. But what I'm saying is... To Dustin Hoffman's point and to what you're trying to say is they're not in the business right now to make new stuff because they're scared to do it, which I understand because, you sink $250 million into something that doesn't make that return. That's a shit ton of money that you're never going to see again. What I'm saying, though, is I think we're on a very good thing where, like, because of that fact, we're going to see smaller independent movies and smaller names do better things because it's so easy to make movies now that could easily be that good. So you're not going to see those movies come from a studio. You're going to see a sequel from those movies come from one of those studios because that studio is going to go, hey, Mr. and Mrs., you know, filmmaker, you just made this fucking huge movie for $12.87 that you paid for completely by yourself. Here's, you know, $2 million. What can you do with that? They're going to make a movie. And then they're going to blow it up and probably steal it from them and make a shit-tastic third one and that sort of thing. We're going to see that because that's what that industry does. And that's why there's so many people like Kevin Smith, for example, Quentin Tarantino, who are tired of it. And Kevin was on the edge of just leaving in general. Like, he was just literally just done making movies. He's like, I'm fucking finished. I never want to make another movie ever again. Once I'm done with this one, I'm it, and it's in. And then, because he's a creative person, he just couldn't. I mean, that was the thing. He just could not leave it alone because it's in his blood. So he found a way to do it on his own, even though really technically he was doing the last couple on his own anyways.
Yeah.
You know, yes, the Weinsteins helped, but they weren't giving, like, hey, Kevin, come make a movie. You know what I mean? Like, you have to make a movie because you're in a contract. That wasn't how it worked. Quentin Tarantino is like, go fuck yourselves. I'll do whatever I want. And he waits how many years between Kill Bill 2 and Django? Like, yeah. That dude took time off. Yeah, he made Inglourious Basterds, but, like, that was still a good five-something years between that, you know? He comes out, and when he does it, he comes out swinging, which I think we don't have enough of Quentin Tarantino's to have that lull. But, man, when they come, though, oh, they come hard, you know what I mean? Like, he comes swinging through the fucking door with two fucking bats, just letting people have it. Steven Spielberg, he makes movies more often than people think he does.
Yeah.
But he's been on the lower end of making those blockbusters because he's in the time in his life where he wants to make the passion projects. And the studios are, yes, Mr. Spielberg, here's an empty check. And he doesn't really need it from him, but he's like, well, I'd rather spend your money on it. Than my money. So yeah, I'll take your fucking, you know, I'll take your money and make War Horse. And yeah, it gets your money back. But I mean, people saw it, but you didn't hear people raving about it. You didn't hear people making, you know, internet memes about it or videos of how much they hated Joss Whedon for killing somebody they love so much in a movie. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff didn't happen. So what I'm trying to say is, I think we are on the cusp of not only seeing a crash of superhero fatigue, like, really hitting us. Marvel, like Mike said before, is literally has to miss on one of these. It's got to happen.
Yeah.
It's to the point where, like, you're 100%. No one can stay at 100% ever, no matter what. Something's going to fall.
It's going to be either the next Avengers or one of the Captain America movies that
and I think,
is a Avengers movie.
And I think... See,
I wouldn't go with that.
I wouldn't say those because they are changing hands.
I would go with more because
even the last one, people or like Avengers 2 was cool. It was nowhere near as good as the first one.
Well, yeah, because you know, I mean, you got because
the first one you got to see that spectacle of finally seeing all those the people that you wanted to see in one movie at once. The second one was just more of the same. For me, the second one just carries the story more. No, I think where the possibilities of you of Marvel tripping up is where you get into. Inhumans and Doctor Strange, the stuff that is, I
think it's going to be, I think those individual ones, while they're still new, are still have that somewhat of originality to them. It's like people are raving about Ant-Man just the same way as people were raving about Guardians of the Galaxy. Those were ones that people were like kind of iffy on.
But Guardians of the Galaxy was one where that it could have easily been something
Ant-Man
that...
Ant-Man could have been horseshit too.
Well, it's
but
still
what I'm saying
be.
Is I think
don't...
they're still giving... There's enough freedom still in those, right? There's enough freedom for the artist to make his art, whatever it wants to be. They're still letting them do that, just like the Iron Man 1, you know? But now you're... As we're getting closer and closer to not having those original ones and just dealing with sequels and team ups, those are going to be the ones to take the big slide, I think.
And I think that's the reason why Marvel let the Russo brothers play for not only making Cap 3 what they wanted to, because it was their idea to do Civil War, but also their idea. They pitched and ran for the Avengers movies 3 and 4, or 3 and 3.5, or whatever you fucking call them. Infinity Wars 1 and 2. They push to be in charge of those. They want to write them. They want to direct them because they have a continuing vision. And I think it's a good thing because Joss Whedon is probably having that fatigue where those two, because it is two of them and they have their own team, I think they may have more left in the tank to then go on. I think we're going to see the true testament. It'll be when we get to Avengers 3, what will happen. But I think there's enough time between Cap 3 and them because they have 2-year production time before the release. Well, actually more than 2 years.
Cause yeah, but Captain America is an Avenger movie. Like the next Captain America is an Avenger movie.
And I think because it's their idea to do it, because they're the ones that pitched for Civil War, that we're going to be better off with them than what Joss Whedon signed up for and said and got to the end. Because even in an interview, he even said like, he's running into like he wants to make different stuff, and so he needed. And they, of course, we heard about almost all the stuff that Marvel pushed on him and took and said, "You can't have this, or you can't do this without this, whatever."
No,
I get it again because it's Marvel has a plan, and they see their plan deviating from where they want to go, so they're saying, "Hey, you have to have these things." I get that, and I get the whole Edgar Wright thing, but what I'm saying though is Joe is probably closer to the mark with what's going to fail. Because, and actually Joe could be wrong too, and Mike could be right, because Marvel could see that the Russo brothers are bringing the Avengers stuff to the drain, like to the brink of the drain, and be like, whoa, and start trying to push too much stuff, and they could go and, you know, overcorrect and go the other way. But I think they're smart enough not to pull a Sony or a Fox or anything like that, where they're just like, oh, we'll take over from here and we'll edit your movie for you. But like with the bizarre stuff, I think as long as they started planning quite a bit ahead, because Doctor Strange doesn't come out till 2017, or is it next year?
I don't know. No, it's not next year.
Next year we only have one Marvel movie, right? Yeah. 2017. It's because Guardians 2 comes out next year. That's what should.
Yeah. Sorry.
You good? So, actually, no, it's 2017, too. What the fuck else comes out next year besides Cap? Is there not one that comes out? No, 2017 would be too busy, because...
Yeah.
I don't know, we can look it up.
Yeah.
But I think that planning out things like something like Doctor Strange and Inhumans with enough time to nail down the script and nail down your cast could be solid as well. But Doctor Strange... I think is less of a risky move than the Inhumans. The Inhumans is Marvel's chance to do an X-Men movie, mm-hmm. but those fucking characters are super weird.
And that's where I see more of things failing, is not necessarily even in the story or in the presentation of
it's,
it.
It's the content.
It's the content and the way the public sees it. Yeah. Like, you, for me, that's why I don't ever see Captain America, Iron Man, like the core ones failing. They may not pull in the same numbers as they initially did, but they're still going to be successful because it's Captain America, because it's the Avengers, because it's all these people. It's where you get into the Inhumans, where it's like, most, even probably even a lot of comic book people, you know, don't really even care about the Inhumans. So that's where you're going to struggle.
See, I disagree. I think with, like, obviously Inhumans is a huge risk, a huge, huge risk. So that could just go get messed up right off the get go. Like, I get that. But what I think is we'll go, again, going back to the whole originality standpoint, you know, now we've already seen the Avengers twice. Okay, we're gonna see basically the Avengers again in Cap 3. Like, I think that's when it starts getting to be like, okay, like, what's different? What's new? Ant-Man's different. Still a comic book movie, but it's the first time we get to see him. Inhumans, it'll be the first time we get to see him. And by then, Marvel will more than likely have a miss. But it's built up so much equity that I think people are gonna still watch it. But I'm not talking about, like, Avengers and Captain America being a failure in terms of not making its money back or not making a lot of money, because it will make a lot of money. I'm talking about how people have perceived it, because how people perceive it will affect whether the next one gets paid or not.
But is there a planned next one?
Oh, there's there's planned all. Well, because Cap 3 is the last Cap movie.
Exactly.
But then you got two Avengers movies after that.
But the Avengers movies are something on their own.
No, they're not.
What he's saying, same what people. He's saying is because
the same cast, basically.
Because yeah, you're seeing so much of the same people from
by the time we get to the part two of the Infinity Gauntlet, we will see Tony Stark in a movie 8 times.
And and just a movie itself. Yeah. I mean, are we including Hulk?
Not including Hulk, but I still
So 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, so 8.
That's 8 fucking movies, dude. Like, but and you're seeing everybody else just a shade under that. You know what I mean? It's like, how exciting.
Well, at that time, you're seeing all the main ones the same number, though.
Yeah.
Because by the time you get to there, Cap's had 3, Thor's had 3. The main cast. Well, those 3, actually, I guess, really. Yeah, those 3.
But individually, that doesn't sound bad to me. I mean, there were 3 original Spider-Men, you know.
Yeah, and
you know,
one of them sucked a lot.
Yeah,
of ass.
But that's yeah, what we're again, saying though is that's because of the interference of the studio. We're saying if Marvel keeps on the track they're on, doing how they're doing it, those ones are almost too big to fail in a way, because I think they will be too protected of them because they are planning so fucking far ahead. Like, they gave us a roadmap to 2022.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck does that? And that's beyond a 5-year plan. I mean, right. You're looking at when it came out, you're looking at fucking 7 years.
But still, I'm talking perception wise. It might be a good movie. It, like, technically put together really well, great story. But are people going to give a fuck? Like, are you going to watch it and be like, oh, yeah, that was cool?
I think
it was just another Avengers movie.
By the time Infinity War 1 and 2 comes out, they'll have enough equity built of intrigue of people wanting to see it, to see what's going to happen, more than, oh, I've already seen this and this. Because with Avengers 2, the problem with that is it was very similar to 1 in the fact that it's them trying to come together against all odds against this overwhelming force. Where in, I'm interested to see where exactly they're going, because yes, they're going to go against an overwhelming force, but really at that time, you're going to have so much on both sides that it's going to be, I'm going into it thinking right now, because I know nothing about it other than what it's based on, is it's literally just a slugfest for 2 fucking movies.
Right.
And if that's what it is, if it's a straight up war, like it says in the name, for 2 movies, I'm going to lose it. I'm probably going to die of a heart attack and loss of bodily fluids. Like, it's going to, if that's what they're coming to, you know, like that's the peak of the fucking mountain. And then looking over it, all it is just straight up fucking a money dive. I'm throwing my wallet and I'm jumping over that fucking cliff, because like I want that. I think the problem with the other movies is is the content good enough to make people care? Because if you fail on things like Doctor Strange and then Humans, God forbid Captain Marvel, which comes to Mike's point where is there enough of someone caring other than women for that character? Is it going to be different enough to not be just an amalgamation of Iron Man and Captain America thrown into one,
mm-hmm.
but with a female? Is that going to be strong enough to then carry them into it? Because if they, like, if the those, if Inhumans, Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel, if they fail, say it's just boom, they fail, I don't think they can fail hard enough to make people not want to see Avengers 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Because now the one thing, Thor has a fucking huge road ahead of it, because Dark World was so different than what most people want, because it is, it's not enough Game of Thrones and it's not enough Iron Man to be everybody's bread and butter. I fucking loved it.
I thought it was good.
Because I like Thor. I know what Thor is. Thor is that brink. Ragnarok, it's going to be a fucking weird place for them to go with it, because it is, Thor is that, like, that dark horse. Not like Ant-Man's a dark horse and like an underdog. Ant-Man essentially is Iron Man, just with more comedy and a dude that shrinks. Like, it's just, and that's really the, I mean, that's really what it is. It's there's fighting between metal or dudes in suits with powers, you know, like, sort of thing. Doctor Strange is a dude that casts spells to fight another dude that casts spells. That right there, sir, is going to be a hard fucking sell. But a dude that has a magical hammer that flies by twirling it? Yeah, like, I don't know, man. It's going to be weird to see exactly where they go with it, because that is, I think they need to go towards more Game of Thrones with it. Not like saying dicks and stuff like that. Like,
dicks they throw, and incest all over the place.
If they throw Chris Hemsworth's junk on the screen, they're selling tickets. Yeah, they're getting tickets for sure. Sold, because people's be like, yes, I'm gonna pay to see this movie. Air quotes, his dick. Like, he's gonna,
that might be why people go watch that new Vacation movie. Have you seen that clip?
I don't care, because I think that's a horrible idea.
No, but have you seen the clip with him in it?
Captain Morgan's
next to somebody, and his, like, dick's just hanging there, and his shorts. Like, if you watch the red band, you see a clear outline of his junk.
Yeah, in his shorts. Yeah,
in his shorts, and he's, like I said, Captain Morgan, one leg up on the chair the person's sitting on, like leaning towards him.
And it's Ed Helms, right? That's
right. So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing that clip now. Yeah,
gives him a pat on the head.
And he leans his head like towards his crotch in a way. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, Thor's trying to get a Hummer from that guy from the office. But
that might help Ragnarok.
Yeah, Ragnarok, hard. So in summation, what I'm trying to say is, Marvel at this point is batting 1,000. They definitely have some potential blanks in the rounds and coming up in the magazine. Depends on how well they're going to do it. Like, it just depends. It does right now look like they're trying to nail down as much as possible. But man, they have, like, the Black Panther movie could be a fault, because that character, just don't know if it's enough of what someone's going to want. You know, is it going to be enough Captain America? Is it going to be enough Iron Man? What's it exactly going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it all depends on the content. What scares me is that after part, like, when you get to the end of that, when, like, so plan movies, end of phase 4, what are they planning?
They should stop them.
Well, but they're not gonna, well, they'll continue on with some of them.
They'll have Iron Man continue with somebody else taking up the
you'll have Guardians 3, because unless James Gunn just completely fucking shits the bed with Guardians 2 or Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, what's the name? Mm-hmm. I don't really see them not doing a third one, but a third movie of an already teamed up thing, like, you just, like, I don't know what else. Like, once you get to 3, can you go on to more with them?
That's when you start mass killing people off in the movies.
So that's when they need, like, when you get to the point where we hear about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Everyone dies.
They need to have other stuff ready to go. Because at that point, Daredevil is going to have, like, 5 seasons in. I mean, they're doing a season a year, like real TV. That's a lot of Daredevil. We have Punisher. We may have Punisher, depends on how it works out. we have those the Defender stuff, but they're literally planning to have all that wrapped up by the time Phase 4 ends. Mm-hmm. What are we looking forward to after that? Maybe at that point we'll have a second Doctor Strange movie does good. Maybe we'll have another Captain Marvel movie. But like they're
but like what unknown properties are they gonna start?
That's what
into?
I'm saying. Like where do they go? You have your Valhalla of movies already, you know, like what's past that? Like what can you do? If they somehow can steal away Spider-Man completely, they're still already planning for three movies, so what more are you going to do for that? Mm-hmm. Don't do what Sony was going to do and do fucking villain movies, because that's not going to fucking be anything anybody wants. Like, people say, oh, I want a movie with Venom in it. You do, but you don't, because you're not going to get what you picture as a Venom movie on that screen. You're going to get garbage, mm-hmm. because you cannot translate. It's not a character that can be on his own on a movie. And feel like Suicide Squad, I think, is going to teach DC a lesson. I could be completely wrong, but I just don't see it being the blockbuster everyone over in Warner Brothers thinks it's going to be. Mm-mm. It's just not have the makings, no. Especially because it has no context, anything else. And seeing that Batman is in it, or Batfleck is in it, for like whatever a bit, makes me wonder, is this before or after Dawn of Justice?
Right.
Because if he's in retirement, why is he fighting the Joker?
Right.
So I'm thinking it's got to be after the fact. So do we get a play for it in Dawn of Justice? Comes out the same fucking year, so it's going to be hard to say. But DC's in a very crucial point where they need to get their shit together, because by the time Marvel runs out of their golden movies, DC needs to be in the cusp of the middle of theirs, so it goes drops from Marvel right into the fucking hands of DC and Warner Brothers and be like, we're running with the ball now, kid, and the ball's made a fuck ton of money. Just run for the fucking bank. Just deposit that shit right now, because you don't have much after that anyways, because you're starting a brand new franchise of all of them. Mm-hmm. So like they're literally, I think they're doing it wrong, but whatever. They're at the time where they need to make these all solid movies, and having something like Suicide Squad that is potentially a stumble so early in that run would be like if Cap 1 completely fucking bombed. Like, yo, I missed you handing me that thing in this marathon we're doing. I didn't realize we're both running at the same time. I thought it was one of those things where like they're going to fire the gun again. I was going to run. I'm sorry, man. I smoke way too much weed. And then you realize you're talking to your own reflection in a mirror. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to pour that out on the table. I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
No.
He's so dickish.
I was like, whatever. All right. So away from all that, because I pulled it up and I just remembered it right now. I have the Marvel, the X-Men stuff up. We're talking about budgets and how it's increased and how big of a fail they are. And I don't even know if how many they've lost, how much they've lost money, or have they lost money and how much it is, but we'll find out. X-Men 1. Anyone want to guess on the budget?
No.
$75 million. Anyone want to guess? I know, right?
I don't think they can make a comic book movie anymore for $75 million if they wanted to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can look at some of the newer ones. So, guess on the box office.
$200 million.
Higher.
Just go through this.
$296. $296 million. So, made its money back. A little bit. All right. X-Men... Last Stand or I'm sorry, wrong one. I tricked you.
X2.
Clicked on the wrong one. Stop it. I can't even do what I wanted to do. So X-Men 2, you had a budget of $110 million, did $407 million. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still made quite a bit of money back, you know, four times. X-Men Last Stand, which is the third one, which I'm sure I'm not overguessing, we all hated, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. $210 million to make.
So look at the budget jump.
So mind you, this is 6 years later. So 75 to 210 in 6 years. It's a hell of a fucking jump for a budget. It made in the box office $459 million. So again,
double the budget.
It doubled what it did, but did not do as good as the other ones compared to budget.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think you're going to see all the movies do that simply out of just, you know, them being out. you're just seeing too much of it.
So your next jump
it would help if the third movie was good.
Yeah.
But the third movie has rarely been good.
So we jump to Wolverine. So technically the fourth movie.
Yeah.
In a way. Really last or first class of the fourth movie anyways. Yeah. $150 million budget. Obviously a lot less cast members have to be done in this one, especially from the third movie because there's a shit ton of people. Made $373 million. So again, doubled its money. First class. We have a budget of, not exactly, it's 140 to 160 million. So slightly, basically the same amount as they did for Wolverine. Only made 353 million. So again, doubled its money. We go to The Wolverine, which is the second Wolverine movie. Its budget is 120 million, and it pulled in 414 million. So it started to rebound again. Then we go to Days of Future Past, which we know Mike loves. This is where it staggers for me because it was a budget of $200 million and it made $748 million. Obviously, they're still making money.
Yeah.
So that's why they're going into making Apocalypse.
But that's okay. That the X-Men's a little bit weirder though too because you're dealing with different casts and new cast members and stuff like that. But with like something like the Avengers, like Infinity Gauntlet 2, that budget is going to easily blast every other budget Marvel movies have done. And it's probably going to do great numbers, but the difference isn't going to be there. And I guarantee you there's going to be people be like, yeah, it was cool. You know, like when audience members start saying, yeah, it was all right. You know, I'm not going to buy it. Like that's when you're fucked. And I think you're already starting to get a little, like me personally, I watched Avengers 2. I liked it. I'm not going to buy it. Like, I don't see any reason to buy it. I saw it twice in theaters. There's nothing about the performances in it or the story that makes me think, ah, I got to have it. You know what I mean? So if I'm already doing that, like by the time you see that group together for the fifth time, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing, though. By the time we get to that fifth movie, well, fourth movie, technically in the run, I realize you're including Captain America, but in the fourth Avengers movie, your cast is going to be A, fucking enormous, but also very different, I think. I think you're still going to have your core players, but you're going to have that new group. That's what kind of makes Cap 3 a little bit more of less than an Avengers movie because it does have a lot of newer cast members in it because you have Vision, you have Falcon.
Yeah, but who's your main cast? Cap, Iron Man, Thor, you know what I mean? Or Captain America and Iron Man is still going to be your main cast.
Hawkeye.
Those are your two main guys going through all the movies. It's going to be your two headliners.
Yeah, of course.
Always going to be your two headliners. Like, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, I think when people finally, like, even if they never make a bad movie, people are eventually just not going to care. You know what I mean? Even if all their movies are good, people are just going to be like, yeah, it's cool. But then not give a fuck anymore. You know what I mean? So that's when they have to start going and being like, shit, we could have spent a little bit of time making something new that could have been on its second or third movie by now. But
and I think
and wasn't a comic book movie. You know,
well, I mean,
just talking, going back to
the studios.
The studios, like, they could have done something different.
That comes with the fact that the reason what Dustin Hoffman, I believe, is saying is the studios are so set in their ways, that's not how they're going to think ever. Until one of the big movie studios completely fucking shits the bed and goes under and gets bought up by somebody else, you will not see that happen because they're like, hey, this plan works.
Okay, so is it a movie studio fault or is it the audience fault for being dumb enough to keep going watching X-Men movies?
Oh, the studio knows that audiences are dumb enough to keep going seeing them because they change enough of
and
them.
We're also in that, where all these well-established comic book movies, superhero movies, we're also at that point where pretty soon the cast has to revolve. So,
well, we're already there with X-Men.
Yeah. So how's that going to
affect? Because Apocalypse has a completely new cast. I mean, other than like
Hugh Jackman's probably going to.
Hugh Jackman's last movie is the third Wolverine movie.
Yeah, I know, but
You have Patrick Stewart who comes back for Apocalypse, But and I think I don't know if you have James McCabe or not. I don't know if he's in it. I can't remember. But you have this newer cast. You have a brand new Cyclops. You have a brand new Jean Grey. You have a Jubilee. Ugh. You have a new Nightcrawler.
He's got firework power.
He sparkles. I can make
like. Remember the first time she used her power? She blew a fucking sentinel up, and then like. Later on when she's trying to use them, like she's literally just setting off like smoke bombs with her fingers. Like that's all she can muster out.
Yeah, well.
Ugh, it's awful.
But I think we're in that point where we are gonna start seeing that be the thing where they have to roll over the cast. And I think Spider-Man, obviously we've seen it now for a third time.
Okay, so to get off comic book movies and superhero movies, what kind of movie do you want to see that's not a comic book movie that hasn't really been done yet?
Everything's already been done.
Yeah, but you can take fresh twists on it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see...
He's saying what non-already made franchise do you want to see them make? So, for example, Dark Tower is a thing they've been trying to make.
No, I'm not even talking hold on, franchise.
I'm getting there. What he's saying is there something that you want to see that is, yes, maybe a rehash of something we've seen, but is something original? Do you want to see a more original Iron Man? Do you want to see something that's maybe already been done but has nothing to do with the franchises, if I'm getting this correctly, that is something you want to see made? Like, I would say Gravity was a very original movie. Yes, it's a space movie. They've been making those for a long time, but it's a very different space movie.
Interstellar.
It's a space movie and a fuck your head up movie, but it's very original.
Inception.
It's not like they're not.
But I'm just saying, like, there's fresh takes and ideals on it that aren't just rehashed from a straight from, like, it's not going to be the remake of Point Break where they just changed or, you know, change the time but keep the name so it's a remake. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a fucking remake. So like
cannibalization.
Is there a alien fucking romance movie you want to see? There's got to be cool shit.
Well, do you have one?
Yeah, I want to see an alien rom-com.
So you want to see a rom-com?
Aliens though.
But it's a rom-com.
But like they're in space.
But it's a rom-com.
But it's aliens.
Still
you get me?
But it's still a rom-com.
No, but that I don't really have one in my head. Like, I like the idea of more space movies because there's so many weird things you could do with space movies because you could, you know, say fuck science and just make up your own shit. I like the idea of like action movies in like a unique setting that we haven't seen or at least seen people who you wouldn't expect to be in an action movie, you know what I mean? To bring a more, you know, a different style like directing to an action movie, or a different style of performances to an action movie or something like that. Like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see now. Like, that's what I'm most... If I... Like, right now, what gets me... Like, if I see a movie that's advertised and I'm like, okay, this is the vibe of the movie, but, oh, this person's in it? Well, that's fucking weird. Like... That's kind of what I want to see now. Like, I'm at the point now where I'm just more curious to see how different performers stretch out and do different things. Like, that's kind of just what I want now.
I don't think we're in that world just yet because of where the studios are at. So if for something like that to happen, we'll say Danny DeVito is going to be in an action movie, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Whatever. You want to see it, right?
Let him play the boss's...
Hold on.
Boss, you know?
He's going to have to be the one that brings that to somebody to make it because no one's going to have that at the big studios because that's fucking terrifying. You cannot... You could not make... Throw Mama from the Train right now. I'm saying originally. Like, if Throw Mama from the Train did not exist when it did, you could not make that movie now.
You're right. You probably couldn't. Nobody probably would.
No one would want that because it's so... Like, that was in a time period where weird shit like that could be made. by the big studios.
You think if the Coen brothers started right now, they'd have a job?
No. They would be even more independent movie makers than they are now. Because they're independent movie makers with inside the framework of Hollywood. But no one at the studios is going, hey, Coen brothers, want to make a franchise of something? Because those dudes are too fucking weird. Like, there's no way you can make a trilogy out of No Country for Old Men or Fargo. Any of that. Fargo. Like, well, Fargo made a TV show, I saw the first two episodes and I was like, I don't know about this. It's like one of those things where, like, that idea is very capsulized.
Or like you're even mashing up genres again. Like one of my favorite movies is From Dusk Till Dawn. And the first half of the first hour of that movie, you don't know it's a vampire. Like, if you don't know the movie, you don't know it's a vampire movie. Then it turns into like a vampire action slasher kind
of. Yeah, like it's that one's less like, of a mashup, like more of like shit. A hidden genre movie. Yeah. Like, I loved, like, Cabin in the Woods, exactly. Mm-hmm. Cabin in the Woods is not so much like a mashup, but more of like a surprise genre movie. Like, it was a horror movie. Like, if you don't think that was a horror movie, something's wrong with your eyeballs, because that was a horror movie.
A little bit of a comedy.
It well, definitely, it had comedy in it, but so did Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Just not as much. But then when you get to the end of Cabin in the Woods, I'm going to ruin it for you, and the giant fucking hand shoots out of the house and crushes, like, and slams down, you're like, what the fuck just happened? Like, but it's still, in all in essence,
but
it's
like a horror movie. I think that's the kind of shit we need more of.
We definitely do. And I agree, but if you look at who made that movie, that was not made by a big studio. It was then put out by a big studio because they said, oh, who's making this? Drew Goddard? I don't know who that is. Oh, Joss Whedon. All right, yeah. But let's do this, you know? But like, if Drew Goddard didn't have Joss Whedon, Cabin in the Woods, yes, it still could have been made, would have had Chris Hemsworth in it? Probably not. Maybe not. Depends on if Drew Goddard got face-to-face with him.
It was made before Thor was made, so maybe.
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was. Mm-mm. I think I released after, but I thought it was made
no,
before.
No, it was made. No, Thor was the thing already.
Was Thor out?
Yeah.
When it made?
Mm-hmm. Because Joss is what brought Chris into it.
Oh, see, I had that backwards. My bad.
But what I'm saying, though, is I'm fucking down for, like, anything. Like, that Infinity movie I told you about, the one with the oldest Hemsworth brother. Not Liam. Anyways,
Brett.
It was not Brett. Anyways, Bert. Old Thor. It's actually really good, but you can see where it has remnants of Aliens in it. It has parts of Alien, but more Aliens because it's the action and the ridiculousness, or the over the top action parts of it to it. But it's very different because it has to do with like temporal displacement for time travel, where you go to another dimension and you may be there for 24 hours, but you're only gone for a minute where you come from. Like, weird shit like that. I want that. But the problem is, that movie came out to theaters and iTunes the same day because it was not done by a major studio. You're not going to have that from a major studio until one of them goes, hey, we need new blood.
Yeah, but why aren't... And this is a theoretical question because I know why. But you would think they would look at these movies that are getting made for next to nothing budgets these days and look at, say, oh, look at the percentage of success it had. If it had our resources.
Yes, your thinking is correct. Yes, why don't they do that? Very good question. Why don't they do that? But what happens is they look at somebody and say, hey, you did amazing with this little bit of money and look how much you made, but also look what you made. Like, yes, you made a lot of money, but it was good. People actually liked it. It wasn't one of those things where, like, Blair Witch, where the movie was fucking awful, but it gave you that one thing you didn't have, so you went and saw it because someone said something, you know? No. But when you look back at it, like, if you watch Blair Witch now, you're like, this is god-awful. Like, why would anyone care about this? But you go back and you look at, like, District 9, it's a pretty awesome movie every time you fucking watch it. I mean, eventually it's going to get to the point where it looks dated because it's got people in it, but you know, whatever, you know? But that's like Neil Blomkamp is at the point where he's three movies deep, right? At least, yeah, three movies deep. And he's just getting a studio movie on his terms.
No.
Because he wanted it. So they're like, oh, wait a minute. This dude made three movies for almost nothing. They all did amazing. Oh, you want to do this movie?
Yeah, that we didn't have any plans for anyway.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think
Once studios
start saying, oh, you made this good move, like really good movie on $20 million, you know, what do you want to do?
Well, here's the thing, though.
Like, that's what's going to save it.
There's been a few of those. If you look at, like, Cowboys versus Aliens, we like it, but for the most part, it flopped. So John Favreau took what he had, like, all that equity he built up with Iron Man 1 and 2, and was going to, and, like, in all likelihood, that movie should have been fucking huge. Harrison fucking Ford was in it.
Daniel Craig
was in it, and Daniel Craig was goddamn on fire at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, he had just come off of Bond, and he was like off of Casino Royale. People were like, "This dude comes gold. Like, let's put him in stuff." And he shows up in a Western movie that's about aliens. Like, on paper, technically, that movie should have been huge. It faltered because it's so fucking different and so fucking weird that people are like, "I don't like it." I don't know why I don't like it, but yeah. Because it's sci-fi.
But my thinking would be, and obviously I'm not the head of a movie studio.
Your thinking is correct. Yeah. The problem is your thinking to them does not make money. They think because Spider-Man makes money every time we put it in theaters, even if it's fucking awful. I mean, Spider-Man 3 made money. It made money.
But such a small amount, though.
That's the thing. So they rebooted it. That's going to continue happening because once it falters, Amazing Spider-Man 2, it falters. I thought not enough. I mean, yes, I didn't like it as much as the first one, but again, because of what they did to it. But it made money, but they're like, wait a minute. Didn't make the money we wanted to. Let's start over.
But the cost to loss ratio is not that much. If you take into account the ones like District 9, which was like, oh, this was a nice little 100 million plus gem that we didn't know we had. You know, it's like working the odds.
You're not going to get an original. I mean, you will get original movies, but you won't get those types of original movies out of the studios. Those things always start with a passion project from Avatar. A bunch of people. I'm actually thinking Ghostbusters. That was something that Dan Aykroyd wanted to do. That was that's where that started. And then the movie studios took over, and that's how it became a franchise. You know,
because they only planned for the first one. They never planned for a second one.
Yeah.
But Avatar is a perfect example for it.
But yeah, Avatar as well.
Avatar, like, faltered being made like 4 or 5 times before James Cameron finally said, yes, we're ready to go. And it's not because the studios, he did it outside the studio mold way before anybody ever thought about that. Because he wanted to make it, and he was the one that said, hey, no, not because your interference, is because you won't give me, I don't have enough money, and I need your money to make what I want, but I need your money to make what I want on a certain time frame. You can't give me $250 million to make this movie, and I can't give it to you next summer. I'm going to start making this movie, and 5 fucking years later, it's done. You know how many movies Sam Worthington was in before that fucking movie hit? Like, that movie hit perfectly because Sam Worthington was somebody at that point. It was before Terminator ruined it for him. But, like, he started to pop up in all these things because he was going to be in a James Cameron movie. I mean, when I first, like, I don't know about you guys. When I first saw the first trailer for Avatar, I was like, well, you have me sold because I have no idea what the fuck's going on. Because that lady has a cat face, she's blue, and seems to be beating the shit out of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in, like, Flynn in this one. I want more of those, and I get what you're saying. James Cameron is one of those people where he has an idea. That motherfucker will sit on it. Avatar is a perfect example. So was Titanic. Titanic took like 10 years to make, and look what that fucking thing did. But Titanic had studio money behind it like already. Avatar, he like literally had to beg and scrape for it. And like, this is the dude that just made the biggest fucking movie of all time. Like, he made Titanic what Titanic was, then went on a fucking fishing expedition to find the real Titanic. Like, who the fuck does that? And then waited to come back. We need more of those. We don't have enough of those. So because those
basically
people...
Basically, the whole point of the podcast is we put it out in the world if we want more original things.
A, so stop going to see Fast and Furious movies.
But that's the thing. What I'm trying to get at is that movie studios will always latch onto the thing that
they think they're going to make money.
Because back in the day, it was stars. back in the 30s and 40s, it was you hired that actor, Cary Grant, and all those people.
And you put them on a contract.
And they stayed at that studio. They made movies for that studio. That's what pulled people in. Were those shows original? Probably, yeah. You know, there still were a lot of remakes. I mean, I don't know how many times they remade The Wizard of Oz and Lawrence of Arabia and stuff like that.
But it was never on the big screen.
But it was that was their cash grabs. And as you move through time, it eventually became, well, people like, you know, the franchises, the Ghostbusters, the Gremlins, the, you know, a shit ton of Indiana Jones, you know, then that's where studios were like, okay, you know, we see Star Wars made was a huge success. Well, let's buy the rights to Star Wars and the rest of the movies. And that's where we are right now. And that's where the movie studios will latch onto something that people liked, The Hangover. And then they'll sit there just and make The Hangover 2. Hangover 3.
Yeah, which Hangover, great. Hangover 2, okay. Hangover 3.
Hangover 2 was that cusp of where, like, that dude was like, hey, they're going to let me do whatever the fuck I want. And then the third one is like, I don't give a fuck about any of this.
Yeah. So, you know, I get what you're saying. I just don't understand why, but I'm just surprised at this point that there's not somewhere out there saying, you know, just making a lot of gambles, but with the smaller bets and letting them give them the chance to hit.
I think there are. I think Legendary is a production company that kind of does that. They have a lot more original movies than I would say any other production company does. You know, so you will have those ones. But I think you're going to, just as time goes on, you're going to see more and more people do stuff streaming wise. You know, Jason and
Justin
and Aaron, they can produce their stuff, make it pretty cheap, and put it out on iTunes and
let it hit.
Yeah.
But then you have, like, on that same point, though, you have someone like Guillermo del Toro, right? That dude has made hit after hit for the most part. I mean, they've been spread apart. I mean, he doesn't make a movie every other summer. Like, they're quite a bit apart. They're huge. He's still having problems having people make his movies.
Yeah. Right.
Like, Pac Rim 2 wasn't a thing until last summer. Mm-hmm. Or actually this past Christmas time. Because they're like, do enough people want it? Can we sell it?
What was the other movie that he was involved in that got
Justice League Dark was a DC movie. And then eventually he just backed out it because they kept balking on it. Like Crimson Peak, his new movie, like he shot that thing out forever. Because he, like, and it, like, it's funny because it started off, I think it was Disney, because he was literally gonna make an R-rated Haunted Mansion movie, and they're like, fuck no, you're out of your goddamn mind, because we can't retrofit this thing for severed heads. Oh wait, we already have severed heads. Oh, there's no blood though, so no one knows it's real. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you like, there's a headless body, two headless bodies that dance around in a ballroom. Like, that's some morbid shit, but you don't want your name on a movie that has a rated R on it, though.
No.
Because you can't rate a fucking ride at a theme park. Because I don't know how that works out, but, you know.
That's where the real money comes in.
Fuck.
Theme parks.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Goddamn ridiculous. But I guess, to Mike's point, the what we're saying right now between the three of us, we're all circling on the same ideas, is that Hollywood definitely is in a rut, but not in a rut of making money, because they're going to literally keep making Fast and Furious movies until
Vin Diesel dies.
Like, they've already proven the fact that it didn't take one of them to die to stop making movies.
Yeah. Actually, like, I don't want to say even in the second one or third one, so maybe
he wasn't in the second, Tokyo third, Drift and, yeah. fourth,
yeah,
third
so
one,
not
second
even
and
that.
Third one.
No, he was in the second one.
It wasn't. The second. No,
Vin
he
Diesel
wasn't.
Wasn't in the second one.
Second, yeah, because that was Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, he said Vin. He said Vin Diesel.
Paul Walker.
Yeah, no,
you just brought him dying.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't want to say Vin Diesel needs to die if they stop making these movies. I'm saying they literally had a perfect chance to say, "Oh, we're sorry, you know, Paul Walker did pass away. We're not gonna make these movies anymore." But instead, they kept it going. But it made too much money for them not to try. So they found a way to make it without him, but with him.
Well, that one was kind of weird because they were already so far into it.
They were so far into pre-production that they're like, shit.
No, like filming. Like, they were almost done.
Well, except, well,
There were some parts.
There were some parts that they needed him for.
There was a lot of
the movie was almost done.
So that's what I'm saying. Is they're at the point where like we are too. We've spent too much money. We can then, you know, and I think what they did do, they did do for it with Paul Walker and like putting the fact that a bunch of the money from the proceeds, not only the release of the sixth movie on DVD and Blu-ray, and some of the proceeds from the box office went to his charity that essentially he literally died after, was a cool thing to do. But yeah, you know that dragged money in. People are like, oh, it's for a good cause. Let's go see it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it happened, but I think it's gonna need to be not. I'm not gonna say Vin Diesel needs to die for not to happen, but what I'm saying is he needs to be like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. You can keep the brand going.
Well, if Babylon AD hit, he probably wouldn't have done it.
I loved Babylon AD. Do you ever watch the uncut version?
No,
the uncut version I haven't seen, but I heard because I've seen the theatrical version, yeah. And it wasn't great, but then I heard that there was an uncut version that had so much, because the theatrical version had so much taken out, that's what caused the confusion.
Yeah.
in
like a in story
everything. Yeah.
Like the editor went and said, what do you want to take out? Anything with plot. I can do that. It seems like a bad, okay, I'll do it. And he did it, and then you have Babylon AD and you're like, what the fuck is happening in this movie? And then you watch the director's cut, like, oh my god, there was a story. Did you hey, that's weird. Why didn't you put that in theaters? Oh, because it was rated R? All right, I see why you didn't put it in theaters now, because you're pussies. Because adults don't have money. Plus, kids are going to go to a lax movie theater to see a rated R movie.
Yeah.
You know they are.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. I am totally 17. Holding his finger up as a mustache.
But he's got a drawing on the other side.
Yeah, of course he does. Or tattooed by his friend.
Tattooed, yeah.
That mustache.
My friend does tattoos in his garage. They're really good and cheap.
Yeah. And only washed out four times.
Oh, gross.
So I think it would take, for a Fast and Furious movie franchise like that to then go away, you would need The Rock, Vin Diesel, to not come back.
You know what, or what they could do if they keep making them? Make The Rock the star of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because if Vin Diesel goes away, they'll go to The Rock and be like, yo, bro.
You want a Hobbs spinoff?
You wanna make the Fast and the Hobbs? Huh? Hobbs and the Furious?
Or bring in his new partner,
like
Calvin?
Like a little tiger.
Well,
Hobbs is the tiger. That's what I said.
Oh.
You were saying Hobbs.
Hobbs is the tiger.
Yeah, so I was just like, that image in my head was just like Fast and the Furious and a little like stuffed tiger.
So in closing, movie studio heads, give us the say-so and stuff.
Or at least bring in people who aren't fucking suits.
Yeah.
Who aren't goddamn accountants.
I don't own a suit. I do have a tie, though.
You're trying to make money. I get that. But you're doing it in all the wrong ways. Not all the wrong ways. A lot of the wrong ways.
Right.
You can still make those movies.
You can still keep doing Fast and Furious. All right. Like, well, it's going to keep making money. But they could still keep doing that. But for Christ's sake, you know, after that, do something different and cool.
Do the what's that one, the babysitter movie that Vin Diesel did?
Pacifier.
Yeah. Do the sequel to that.
Pacifier 2?
Yeah.
Suck on this.
Yeah. Pacified.
Pacified.
Something like that. You know, you can put it like pacifiered or something. I don't know.
Pacifier 2. Pacified.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, you know, do that.
Die harder.
Die harder.
Pacify harder. But what I'm saying
that's
is
another one that got beat to death. It was Die Hard.
But again,
But see, what happens is they're like, but it made enough money.
Because
the
like,
thing
like
is,
said,
what
four,
you were saying
people
earlier,
were like, oh, four is kind of shitty, and then they made the five, and everyone was like, okay, this is it.
See, the thing is, what you were saying earlier, and Joe started saying something, I forgot to say what I was going to say, and this will be last note. If a movie makes enough money, like, so a movie costs $100 million, right, to make. If it makes $300 million, that's $100.
What are you looking at?
Fall off of there? I saw something fall off of the shelf.
No,
I was like,
we didn't see anything.
I've been drinking today. So if it made $300 million, which makes an extra $200 from what it paid itself back, you have $200 million. If you can figure $200 million is enough to make another sequel plus keep some money, you're going to make a movie. But if you make a movie for $100 million and it only does 102, you're definitely not getting a sequel. But if it doesn't do 200 million, you're not also going to see a sequel unless it wasn't on enough theaters. Like if the balance was, hey, we only put it on 1,500 theaters and it did this much money. If we make a sequel because we did make more money and we put it on 3,000 theaters, then we're going to make that much more money, right? Because that's their thinking. It's all about how much money they think they can make with what they've already made. Because being that they've spent $100 million to make the first one, they don't have to respend another $100 million and another $100 million to make it.
No, I get that. And I know how like that math breaks down. But then you go over to something like the A-Team, which, again, we're talking originality. It was based on a TV show. But the A-Team, the movie, was an original movie in the sense that nothing's like that is being done right now. You're not having that fun. It's over-the-top action, but it's a ensembled piece where everyone, you know, it has good chemistry, has good action. It's got enough of the actors carrying, you know, the roles, and they're doing a good enough job, and it's just a fun movie. That one barely makes over budget, and the overwhelming response to it is positive for the crowd that likes it, but it doesn't make enough, so they're like, no, part two might be a risk. Yep. And they don't. It's so like, fuck off, man.
It's because
listening to the response to the movies, the response to A-Team, overwhelmingly positive. The people who went and watched it liked it. So
not enough people went to see it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
But yeah. Like it's not like it didn't make money. It made money. It just didn't make enough money. So.
It didn't make sequel money.
Yeah.
Because right. You have to, again, because the math, has to pay for the profits for the first one, have to pay for making the second one, and you get to keep money.
Yeah.
Which really, going, like we talked this before when we talked within the Marvel stuff, and this again will be my last point because we are
way over.
It's all right, it's free. If you look at like Marvel, their movies keep like doubling in budget for in the line, not like from Cap 1 to Cap 2, or from Cap 1 to Cap 2, not Cap 1 to Avengers 2, because there's a big difference in there. But like, if you look at that, like, I don't understand. I get you have to pay these people more money because, like, it did well. But, you know, if you make contracts, right, these kids, they're going to be here for a while. But it's staggering to think of how much money actually that is involved in there. Like, when you make a movie for $247 million and it makes $1.49 billion, you made your money back. So you can go ahead and make another three. Yeah. And they could just make their money back, and you still have money left over. But with A-Team, again, is one of those movies where that shit on paper, you're like, dude, this is gonna be blockbusters. They're gonna make 70 of these fucking movies because Liam Neeson, as the Liam Neesons, you have Bradley Cooper at the point of Bradley Cooper being the fucking Bradley Cooper, like. That dude literally could shit on camera and people would go see it. Like, the movie could be called Bradley Cooper Takes a Shit on Camera.
In 3D.
Which actually was the working title for Aloha. So yes, it didn't really work out that much.
Yeah. Well, because they didn't use it. They didn't have the balls. But Bradley Cooper had some faults between then and there. And plus, Aloha looked like a fucking train wreck from the first trailer I saw. I was like, well, this movie's not going to be good. Sorry, Cameron Crowe. But... when you have like A-Team, like Liam Neeson, Bradley Cooper, at the time Charlton Copley was relatively unknown, still kind of is. You have Quentin Rampage Jackson, which at the time that movie came out was still on top
of MMA. Crowd,
of MMA,
yeah.
Not
which
so
is
much UFC.
Much smaller crowd.
Yeah,
than...
but enough like because yeah. They're planning on like the whole like WWE kind of phenomenon where like again, I'm sorry, these. Inbred weirdos that watch fucking WWE will literally go watch the Marine 17 because it says he actually has only seen like their first seven.
Oh.
But they will go see a movie because it has WWE in it. The problem with that thought is when you make movies from WWE that don't have those stars in them, that they don't have the Rocks and they don't have the Cenas in them, they're not going to go see them because they don't follow the studio's name, they follow the actor because that is what everybody wants. Morgan Freeman does a movie, depending on what it is, people will go see it because of Morgan Freeman.
Yep.
You put Tom Cruise in a movie, people are going to see it because it's Tom Cruise.
I've watched movies that I weren't I wasn't necessarily excited about watching, but because it had an interesting name in it, you're like, oh, okay, I'll check that out.
Yeah, you know? And that comes to your point. You put Danny DeVito in an action Western movie, people are going to be like, well, that seems fucking weird, but weird enough, I'm watching that
movie.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to watch it.
But you put Glenn Howerton in a Western action movie, people are going to go, who the fuck is that?
I don't care. I don't care about Glenn Howerton. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, who the fuck is that guy? And then you realize, hey, the guy from Sonny. No, not the short, like, weird one. Not
Danny
one.
DeVito.
The other one. No, the other one.
Danny DeVito, though.
Yeah.
They're getting a Sonny cast. Yeah. It should have been Danny DeVito.
Who's a big name out of there? Yeah. Charlie? What's his real fucking name? It's Charlie. So that's what I'm saying is, like, Joe brought up the fact that studios used to have movie actors on call all the time, and they made movies around those people. They didn't make fucking sequels. They made original movies every time they made a movie. Now, was it completely original? No. It came from a book or was another idea that was written on a napkin in a drunken night that, you know, might have bodily stains on it. But it was movies, and they were all fucking different for the most part. Like, when you looked at, like, Cary Grant movies, they were all routinely different movies. But when you have a filmmaker like Alfred Hitchcock that made movies, he never had the same actors in them, and they were all the same type of fucking movies. They were mind fucks and scary movies, because that's what he made. Now, Justin Lin, who makes Fast and the Furious movies, made True Detective. Like, those are drastically different. So, like, it's a weird place we're in, but, you know, it's exciting.
I don't think we accomplished anything today.
Did we ever accomplish anything?
Yep.
Really? I thought this was a podcast a lot about nothing.
Yeah, it's like Seinfeld.
Yeah. Oh,
don't say that out loud. Mm.
No, we're much to do about nothing.
Oh, much we did to that. Do we did about, that on the show with the thing and the stuff. Ba-dum-bum, my homework assignment for Keanu Reeves.
I'm going to unplug my microphone now. Are we done?
No, don't unplug it. We're still recording. Okay. All right, fine. That's it. That's it for this episode. Comes naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody. See you guys later. Don't unplug it yet. Let me turn it off.
Good night and good luck.